So moving on to the next sugya in the Gemara. So the Gemara has been talking about the Mishnah. We didn't discuss so much again, but the Mishnah assumes that you can sell a shul, you sell these various things, and when you sell these various things, the issue is, mark over the left a little more. Stop right there. The issue is, sorry about that. So the issue is, what can you do with the money? But the Gemara here puts a limit on selling by the two dots on, by the two dots on Chavav Amun Aleph, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Yochanan, Lo Shano El Beis HaKnesa Shel Kfarim. This whole assumption that you can sell a shul is only said about a Beis HaKnesa Shel Kfarim, smaller villages, Av Beis HaKnesa Shel Kerochin, but the shuls in big cities, Kevan De Me'alma Asule Lo Matzim Mizamnile. Since Me'alma, since people come from all over, Lo Matzim Mizamnile, so they can't sell it, the people in the city cannot sell it, the Havale Derabim, because it is for the rabbin. We'll have to see what that term means, a little bit vague. So it belongs, somehow it seems to belong to the rabbin, and that limits the ability of the community to sell this shul. Now, if you look at the first place, generally look, is Rashi. And if you look at Rashi, I found Rashi to be not totally clear. I'm not sure exactly what Rashi holds. Rashi says, Aval shel krachim. So right in the middle of the page, Havaluhu beit bate knesios de rabim. It's the shuls belong to the rabim, to the public. V'hakol balein, and everyone is considered the bailim. The ein bnei ha'ir levadam bailim lehem, and it's not the people of the town are not alone the bailim, the owners are the ones that have the rights to the shul. We'll use Manhattan for argument's sake. You have a shul in Manhattan, so everyone is the bailim. Anyone want to take a stab what they think Rashi means? Or we'll hold off till we get to the Ran. Yeah.
There's some sort of lack of, therefore you can't get Don Machnat of all the bailim, since everybody's the bailim, and therefore you can't. It's just a technical issue. You can't practically sell it because you don't have Don Machnat.
You don't have the das of the Machnat. You don't have, you need to, in order to sell something, you need the person selling to admit, and everyone is the bailim. So how did everyone become the bailim? What does it mean that everyone's the bailim? Right, so that
built it on the
so you maybe where you're headed is the first shot in the Ran, which seems to be what Rashi holds. And the first shot in the Ran is that if you have a public shul, you have a shul in Manhattan, or let's say a shul in Yerushalayim. The postman actually talk about this in a shul in Yerushalayim, but you have one of these public shuls. So since people are coming from all over the place, so what makes everyone the bailim? How does everyone become the bailim? So the Ran says, and maybe this is what Rashi means, and this, so the Ran says that since people are coming from all over the place, everyone's donating to the shul. The shul is built on the donations of everyone that comes, and people come from all over the place. So now, let's say you have a shul in Manhattan, on the Upper West Side. This shul has been used by people from all over the world. Now the Upper West Side community decides they want to sell the shul. Well, who are the owners of the shul? The owners of the shul are those who donated to the shul, those who contributed to the building of the shul. And therefore, let's say you have it, maybe one of the partners in the shul lives in Australia. So you have no idea if the guy in Australia wants to sell the shul or not. So now you got to stop. Like you just said, the das nach, but you don't have the agreement of all the owners, and therefore you have to stop and you can't sell the shul. That seems to be what the Ran says, and very possibly that's the pshat in Rashi, Hakol Baleim, everyone becomes the owners. This also seems to be the pshat in the second Deya in Tosfos. One second, Aaron. The second opinion in Tosfos, four lines down, the last of the Y lines, is Tosfos. Tosfos says, Odi Yesh Lefaresh, a second pshat, Kevan Shirabim Nostim Bibinyono Uvishar Tzrachav. Tosfos doesn't really explain, also Tosfos a little bit unclear, but again, he seems to be saying this idea, that since a lot of people contribute, so the Ran fleshes it out, everyone becomes part owner. Yes, Aaron.
So is the fact that a lot of people are coming in and out of the shul, or is more than a lot of people donating to it?
The key factor seems to be the donations. The fact, good. So that when the Gemara says that a lot of people are coming, that's a good, very good point. So when the Gemara says a lot of people are coming, what is that indicating? So it's not telling us anything intrinsic, but it's more of a simon, more of a sign that must be that a lot of people are contributing, and therefore we have to be worried that maybe there's an owner in Australia, and we can't sell without his consent.
Yeah, so even if it was in a small community that no one really came from, but there were a lot of donors, yeah.
Right, so the post can talk about that, exactly how to define it, but let's say you had a business spot. You know, you had a city, a small town where a lot of people did business, and there are a lot of different people coming to do business. It's not a particularly big shul, but it's a place a lot of people do business, so you would have that status. Then I saw discuss, what about a vacation spot?
Yeah.
So that's unclear, not clear exactly. So should a vacation spot be viewed that way, since a lot of people are coming in, but it's not like a constant turnover of people. So that may or may not. Yes, Jonah.
What about a loan to a
shul? A loan to a shul?
Yeah.
If you lend something, you lend money to a shul, does that money have kedusha? I mean, usually you don't lend. I mean, they're not. You lend a building? I mean, if you lend the building, so they can't sell without your consent.
No, you lend money to trust.
So they owe you money. So the money, the halacha with a loan, if you loan money, halva is the hotzah, and the Gemara says the money totally belongs to the borrower, and now you just have to repay that money. So there's nothing holding, you don't have any rights anymore once you lend money.
Does that money have
if it goes into the shul, that's good. When they pay back, I don't think so.
It's not the same money.
I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. Yes, Mike?
According to this pshat, as well, the das, like the das kona, because chances are the people that are coming from all over the place are donating the money now because they want to be, they don't want an ownership. Chances are they're doing it because they feel...
Okay, so, for sure, so that's the Gemara. One of the rayas the Ron brings is from the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi's, in Rav Ashi's city, in Masa Mechasya, so the halacha is that anyone can sell. So Allah, sorry, they can sell. And what does the Gemara explain? Just like Mike saying, even though people come from all over the place, came the Daita Didika Asu, says Rav Ashi, since they're coming for me, Rav Ashi knows. And the Karban Asana on the bottom of the rush, by the way, says, isn't it a little gaivadik? Rav Ashi's saying, I know, everyone's coming to my shul. Everyone likes me. So Karban Asana says, okay. The halacha is, if you have to explain the halacha, and sometimes you might have to put yourself in that position to say it's because of me, that's not a problem of gaiva to do that. So Rav Ashi had to explain the halacha, and the Karban Asana also brings the Rav Ashi was mamish to the Gedolei Hador, and so for Rav Ashi, so he says they're coming for him, Iba'ina mezamnina la, so I could sell it, because like Mike's saying, even if someone donated from Australia, in Rav Ashi shul, they wanted it to be for Rav Ashi. But I actually discussed with the president of my shul, my parents' shul in New Rochelle. So I was walking with him when I was learning these studies. I was walking with him on Shabbos, and they built a new shul a bunch of years ago. So I asked him what they did. You know, did they factor some of these things in building the new shul? So he said when they made the donations to like the shul, let's say someone wanted to donate like stained glass windows or something, or whatever, some window design. So they made it, they structured the agreement or the donation that it was donating the money or dedicating, sorry, it was dedicating the window. Because they didn't want anyone to say, well, it's my window. You can't just change the window, it's my window. So you're a big tzaddik, Mike, but I'm not sure everyone's such a tzaddik. And you know, the people, when they make donations, they think, okay, yeah, I'm getting a chelik in the shul. Yes?
So the Mishnah is talking about more like, I think, a fidusha perspective. So in this Gemara, is it implying that maybe there's some sort of extra kedusha?
Oh, good. We're going there. Hold off on that. Yes.
What about like a camp? There's kedusha for certain months out of the year. I mean, you get the donations every year from the campers.
Well, let's hold off on practical questions because we're gonna have a. Let's hold off on practical questions. At the end of the day, just similar to like Mike's saying, like the Gemara says, the Gemara assumes that generally people want to have their own, keep their ownership in it. But if you had an exception, like Rav Ashi, then they're donating for Rav Ashi. Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva, actually the newest chelik of our Edras Moshe, the chelik test we're up to. So in there he has a Tshuva, or they bring down something he wrote. He didn't actually write it, but I mean he wrote the Tshuva, but he didn't write it as part of Edras Moshe. But they bring for what he wrote, something he wrote elsewhere, that nowadays, almost all shuls, the way it works, is you donate for the membership to do, or the board, whatever, however shuls work, they should be in charge. So actually, he says, none of this is so practical. Maybe a letdown, I was going to save it to the end of the sugya, but it's very interesting in the Gemara. But he says, not so practical if you, 99% of the time, you can assume that everyone is donating for it to be done according to the, you know, shul bylaws or whatever, the agreements of the shul. And therefore, even a camp situation, we would say, okay, anyone who donates to a camp, so they understand that the camp is going to do what they think is best, and they're not retaining their ownership rights. Okay, so let's go on in the Gemara a little bit. The second answer of the Ran is that since people come from all over the place, when they built the shul, and we'll talk about a little more of this, but it's the building of the shul is part of the way you invest the Kedusha, is what you have in mind when you build the shul. So when they built the shul, it was understood that people were going to come from all over. So since you did that, so somehow that makes gives everyone rights to the shul, and that's why the Upper West Side community wouldn't be able to sell the shul, because people who donated the shul understood people are coming from all over the place to the Upper West Side, and they gave in mind, they don't retain their own ownership, but they donated with in mind intent for everyone to use it, and if that's the case, you can't just sell it. Now we'll elaborate on that further. We'll come back to that a little bit more. The Shitas of Rambam. Anyone got to see the Rambam? Have a thought where the Rambam stands on this? The Rambam is not clear, because the Rambam, third line down, or the end of the second line, Aval Beis HaKnesset Shel Krachin Hoil Ve'Al Das Kol Anshei HaOlam Nasa. Since it's made Al Das Kol Anshei HaOlam, it's made for everyone. Sheobo Vispalbo. So the west, Upper West Side, they made it so anyone can come in. Kol haba el hamedina nas. For anyone who comes into the town, to the city, nasa shall kol Yisrael. It belongs to all Yisrael. So, on the one hand, he has the idea that al das kol olam. On the other hand, he does have this concept that it does belong to everyone, which possibly sounds like the first shot, or maybe a hint a little better into how to understand the second shot. But again, let's hold off a little bit more on understanding the second shot. What are we going to say for Rav Ashi according to the second shot? What? But why is it an exception?
Aldas,
right? Similar point. Not that you have to. According to the first shot, you have to be mochel on your rights for Rav Ashi. And according to the second shot, it's generally built for everyone. But since Rav Ashi was a Gadol Hador, so they built it, and they made the shul, they made a shul for Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi had the shul, Chassidish Rebbe, so the Rebbe gets to decide what to do with the shul, and Rav Ashi gets to decide with the shul, that's how it would work. Now, there might be a third shot, and this might get to Yoshua's point, may or may not get to Yoshua's point. Anyone want to suggest a third shot in the sugya? So Tosos has a line, maybe you saw it already, Tosos, but Tosos has a line where in the first answer, where he says, Kevin Shirobne Adam Regilim Lechasham Lispalem, Afal Pisha Note She'enos Timklum, even though the people that are coming to the Upper West Side, they're not paying any, they're not making any contributions, they're just showing up to the shul, Biminyano, third line down, Mikomakom, Kevin de Ladas Osan Rabim Nase. Since it's made for the rabbim, it's made for the public, chamura kedushaso, it is higher level kedusha, the einon yecholin lemochro, and they cannot sell it. Now, what's pshat here? What does it mean? Kedusha chamura, what? Tosos saying something different than the second answer? Yeah, you think you guys? That's Charlie. You thought I was saying something there. Yeah.
I think the first answer is still a technical issue. The answer either not, so it's still a technical issue. There's some sort of issue in it's for everyone, and therefore they all have some element of Bible. Here, this is it's not a technical issue in the act of selling. It's selling doesn't work here. Oh. There's kedusha here, which doesn't allow us to sell. Just like we can't sell a shul or a street, so too we can't sell the shul at all.
Good. So that's the Sfas Emes. You got that. So the Sfas learns in Tosos. Sfas Emes discusses, and the Prima Gadim also talks about this. Let's say you have a shul and you want to build a new shul. Sfas Emes actually is talking about the Magen Avraham there is talking about destroying the shul and rebuilding or building a new shul. But Mechira seems to be a similar point. The Gemara and Rishon assume later. But let's say you sell a shul, Upper West Side, they build a new building, a fancier building, and now they want to sell that shul and use the money and to build or the new building, let's say, or they have a new building ready, and you'll just transfer the Kedusha. So, according to the first answer, Ilchora, as the Primer Adam explains, it should be fine, because even the first two answers, because your rights, if you want to, like you're saying, both the first two answers have to do with the rights of the people involved, and you're going to tell me you're losing your rights by getting to a new building? No, you're getting better rights. Before you had ownership in an old dinky shul, now you have partnership in a big fancy shul. Gewaltige thing. You raised up your level of, you raised up the shul to a higher point, you raised up your ownership to a higher level shul, good. So that shouldn't be a problem. But Moshe's saying, like, Svas MS, and if you go to the third shot, we're suggesting in Tosos that no, there's a higher level of Kedusha with the basic national Karachin. Maybe that Kedusha prevents a sale. Maybe this you're getting to, Yeshua. It's just holier, and you can't touch it. The Mishnah, when we're talking about selling, it's a regular shul. A regular shul you can sell. But here you have higher level Kedusha, somehow that will stop your ability from being able to sell. You can't sell such a thing with such high level of Kedusha, and that would be a different view than the first two ways. That's what Sassam suggests. Yes,
according to that direction, Rav Ashi wouldn't be able to sell a shul.
According to that, well, Rav Ashi, how do you can explain Rav Ashi according to that?
Right. And it's not an issue of violence, it's an issue of Kedusha.
I hear. It's a good concept.
I mean, so you have to explain that what Rav Ashi is saying is that with, like, really used up the Ati, it's more of a shul of a Yachid than a shul of a Rabin. It's like mine.
That your das can undo that Kedusha Chamura.
Yeah.
I mean, so what gives it? Oh, so here's a good question. So, So let's just say this. What gives it the Kedusha? When we say this Pshat and Tosos, what would make it have a higher level of Kedusha? Yes, Mike.
More
attendance in the shul. Why would more attendance in the shul? So, before we even explain that, if you just say it's more attendance, so I'm not sure if your answer is going to help. No, that's in the second. That second answer. The second answer makes sense because there the das matters. But the first answer is the problem because
The second approach because the first answer.
Oh, okay. Hold off on that. We'll get back to that. Let's just assume the Pashat Pshat and Tosos is Kedusha Chamura. So Mike is saying it's attendance. Why should it be attendance? So the Sefer Mishnas Yosef I have here in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So I quoted him last time. He has like a tshuva about in the Kotel Sefer, but here he has a whole Sefer on Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So in his Sefer on Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, so he suggests the following. Where does the Kedusha of a shul come from? What do we call a shul, generally? Pasuk in Yechezkel? Mikdash Ma'ah. The shul is generally referred to as Mikdash Ma'ah. Now there's a big Machlokes Rishonim, which I keep on alluding to, we're getting to soon, a Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Kedusha of a shul, but there are definitely Rishonim who maintain that not only is it a nice thing that the Pasuk in Yechezkel calls it Mikdash Ma'at, but the Kedusha of a shul is the Kedusha of the Mikdash Ma'at. It's built on the Kedusha based on Mikdash. So, what does that mean? That means the based on Mikdash is kind of the ideal, and our based on this is a little bit of a smaller form. Now, the based on Mikdash was Klal Yisrael's place. It was the base of Mikdash for all Klal Yisrael. So, suggest the Mishnah Yosef, if you have a shul that is more of a public shul, the Rabbim are coming there, so you're that much more similar to a Beis HaMikdash. If you have a shul in Camp Morasha, so okay, it has elements of Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdash Ma'at. If you have a shul that's for all Klal Yisrael comes to it, wow, that's so much more of a model of the Beis HaMikdash, and that could be, since it's closer to the Beis HaMikdash, it's higher level of Kedusha. That's what he suggests, a beer in this Tosos. So that's, like Mike's saying, it's attendance, but we should point out, Sam asked that Kasha, great Kasha, how are you going to explain Rav Ashi? At the end of the day, that's a pshat. The people coming is what gives us high level Kedusha. Hard to understand how Rav Ashi overrides. Yeah, Charlie.
I don't think it's what Tosos was saying. It's Kevan
Mordado Tamrami. Oh, good. So you don't think, so the Svas MS seems to learn that way, but the Gra does not seem to learn like Tosos, because the Gra, who said this before, maybe Tosos doesn't hold that? That was Jana, you said that? You were saying that. So Tosos and Charlie now. So the Gra on the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, when he's discussing this sugya, so he groups Tosos with the Rush, and he actually, the Rambam learns like the Rush also, he groups Tosos with them. So he says that Tosos is saying like shot number two we were saying earlier, right? for sure, the second pshat in Tosfos really sounds like the first pshat we said before, that it has to do, you acquire ownership. The second pshat is what we think now is the first day in Tosfos, is that it has to do with al das osan harabim, like you said. Yes.
Maybe another reason why the kedusha for the rabbin, maybe it's like a negative thing. If you sell a shul that everyone goes to, it'd be like, oh, like, you know, like people are selling shuls, like it would have a negative impact.
It would mess people over.
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking that when I first learned the Gemara, I was like expecting the Rishonim to say that like you don't have a right to mess over the rabbin. Like a lot of people come to the shul and all of a sudden you close the shop, the Upper West Side. Where's everyone going to go down? So that's why I originally just pashup shop. Rishon didn't seem to say that, but I hear you're, that would be a defense for the higher level Kedusha. We don't really mean there's more Kedusha. We mean that like they're higher stakes. You know, the higher stakes here. You have a community shul. You know, it's not so pashut just close down a community shul. People are coming from all over. And then you could say for Ravashi, you can say, well, it's not really a community shul. The whole world knows this is a Ravashi shul. And if Ravashi closed up shop, so they'll be like, okay, I was always dependent on Ravashi. He closed up shop, he's gone. So it could be that's another pshat. That could defend the Sfasemis' pshat and Tosef and the Kasha from Sam's Kasha. I hear that. That's good. So how are we going to explain Tosef? Now we have to ask, and I've been pushing this issue off, a Kasha on this whole Mahalach, the Rosh's Mahalach. And we said, oh, it has to do with the mindset of the people who build the shul. What do they have in mind? They have in mind it would be just for the people of the community, or do they have in mind it would be for all, you know, the Rav, anyone who wants to come? So now, how we've been assuming until this point, like Moshe explained, seems to be the shot the Rush is saying, and Ron is saying, that by that das of the builders, that gives everyone ownership. Right? That seems to be saying. It's just a technical question. How do you get there? But both of the first two days, we're assuming there's a bilus. But how do you get bilus, according to the second day? For the first day, so how do you acquire ownership? So I understand. If you contributed money, so we generally have an idea that money, there's a kinyan kesef, you contribute money, so that you pay money, you get something back. If you actually built the building, you donated bricks, you were involved in the building process, so okay, so you got ownership by being involved by building. There's a kinyan chazaka, there's such, we understand those concepts. But how did you get ownership? Just because they decided that it should be for the public? Yeah. Zachalan Shul Befanov. Ah, I hear, okay. Zachalan Shul Befanov. So Moshe is saying that we have a rule in the Gemara that if you can acquire something for someone, if it's good for them, you can, let's say you find something on the street, and you can acquire it, I could pick it up on behalf of David, so David can have it. Zachalan Shul Befanov. I can make a kinyan on behalf of someone else. That's the rule. Hold this how it works. I can make a kinyan on his behalf. So it could be that's pshat. I don't know if having ownership in the tool is always such a schus. Maybe it's you get a lot of fighting going on.
You don't even know the mishaleach would be a good. You said talking about shlichus especially, like you need to know who your mishaleach is. You don't know like kol all Israel is a mishaleach.
He said, look at the sugars
in
the sphere.
First, I'm being said on behalf of you know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know about we say that Zachen by that's a machlokes, but I don't know. We make an Eruv on Zchia. I don't know if we say you have to know everyone in the Eruv. The way we make an Eruv is one person picks up acquires a box of matzos, and everyone it's viewed as if everyone in the town has a joint ownership in that matzo, and that allows you to carry it from place to place. I don't know. I don't know. You have to know, be my eye a little more in the sugya of Zechia for that. Yes, Mike.
Didn't you say that maybe it's the fact that all the builders of the city are just forfeiting their bows and therefore no one has bows? And therefore that enabled the Ravashi to know that they can point someone, but at this point basically no one has any bows. So when they say it, it's not necessarily that they're bestowing bows on anyone else, but they're just forfeiting their own bows and therefore no one has bows.
That's a lachos matzias here. This is the Rishonim. Whether the builders and the donators want to have bialos or don't want to have bialos, I don't know. No, but that's a question of A little bit. But maybe, okay. But a little less of a, it's a fundamental question of how you view, like, building a shul. Do you view it that each builder gets ownership, or do you view it as, no, it doesn't work that way. It works if you don't have actually individual ownership that way. Builders don't get ownership. Not a question of, like, do you want to have ownership? You're saying it's just like what they want to do.
No, but I'm saying it's not like there's a chalos and palos on someone else. You're saying there's no chalos and palos
okay.
on the themselves.
Okay, could be.
Which is why I'm that's how you're going to question
all right.
possibly before.
So, okay, could be. Could be. I'd like to go a little bit of a different approach. The Rambam, we saw in the Rambam, look back at the Rambam for a second. So the Rambam said, he went with this Rush approach, V'adas kol anshei olam nase, we said, Shiyavo yisbal bo kol abayal medina, and the Rambam concludes, Nase shel kol Yisrael, it belongs to all of Yisrael, V'ein mochren oso la'olam, and you cannot sell it at all, ever. Yes, Sam?
Isn't that kind of
Well, you can't have an exception like Rav Ashi because it never got started. But the Rambam might be saying once you have it that it was made for the Rabbin, then there might not be an exception at that point. Then you can't sell it at all. So what would be pshat here? So it could be, you could say the following, that the sent you to the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, which is also quoted by the Rabbeinu Menoach, and the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim says you have, there's a difference between, if you gotta go. So the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim, two more minutes for sports F guys, and we'll stop then. So we'll end with this. So the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim has a point, where the Rambam says, he's talking about being moder hana. What does that mean? That means let's say Sam can't benefit from, you can't come, let's say I made a neder that Sam can't benefit from my porch, from my cabin. I didn't do that, but let's say I did, so Sam wouldn't be able to do that. So let's say you have shutvus, you have a partnership, so the halacha is any of the partners can make a neder that the other partner can't benefit from your portion of it, right? So let's say we all own this base banish in shutvus, we were partners in this base banish, so if I said I didn't want Sam to use my chelek, so okay, leaving aside how exactly we calculate that, but some part of the base medrash Sam wouldn't be able to use. However, says the Rambam in Halach Beis, tarim b'dvarim shehem b'shutvus kol Yisrael, which is the Rambam's lashon here, nasa shel kol Yisrael. If you have something that belongs to kol Yisrael, so then you can't make a neder on it, because it's not that they're not a shutvus. When we say that all of Klal Yisrael owns something, belongs to Tzibur, it's not a collection of individuals. And this is a discussion about how do you view a Tzibur. There may be Rishonim who just debate this, but there's a question when you talk about a Tzibur, let's say you're talking about a Karban Tzibur. So a Karban Tzibur, you can bring a Karban of Shutvin, you can bring a Karban of partners, five people can bring a Karban together, but a Karban Tzibur is not merely 600,000 or whatever, the however million Jews there are in the world, 10 million Jews. It's not 10 million partners in a Karban, but it's a new entity of a Tzibur. It's just a little bit what you're saying, Mike, that it's beyond the individual. It's a totally new entity. So it could be, in the Rabbeinu Menoach says, that's what the Rambam means here in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. When you have a shul that belongs to the Rabbin, it takes on this status of Kol Yisrael, that it's no longer a shul that has many partners in it, like the first answer in the Rambam. It's just many partners in the shul. But rather, it takes on a new status. And maybe this, when we would use this concept of Tzibur, that would fit into the Lashon of Kedusha Chamura. That something that belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, okay, it's not, might not have actually the Kedusha, but that term is relevant. It's shaykh to use such a term. Say it's Kedusha Chamura, because this is, again, not merely individuals together in the shul, but rather this whole new entity of the Tzibur, Klal Yisrael's Tzibur, is at a higher level than we're better than just a collection of individuals. We're the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and that could be shot in Tosos, and we could say that's really the second shot. Again, whether it's a collection of individuals, the Shutvin of Klal Yisrael, because we don't know who the owner is, but anyone who donated is the owners, or since it's made for the Das of everyone, it becomes the Shul of belonging to Klal Yisrael, open to all of Klal Yisrael, and that would have different halachas, and you really wouldn't be able to sell it maybe at all, or certainly not with the, you'd have to have the consent of all of Klal Yisrael in order to sell it. Okay, we'll stop here. I think we're going to try on Sunday. I'm a little worried next week is going to get a little crazy, and we just want to finish off the sugya. So Sunday night, Mirtz Hashem, as you know, division heads permitting, we'll continue the sugya, and then we'll see from there. Have a good day. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.